सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां लयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम्। सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम्। नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। हरि ओम्। माय हम्बल प्रणाम्स टू ऑल ऑफ यू। सो इन दिस वेरी वेरी पावरफुल टेक्स्ट, जस्ट इन अ फ्यू श्लोकास, भगवान शंकराचार्य जी हैज combine the essence of so many Upanishads by quotations, by direct references, by using examples. And that shows the brilliance of this master who, at such a young age, was able to compose all these beautiful texts. And we had already heard about it is Tat Tvam Asi, the essence of that Upanishad teaching, that thou art. So thou, which is you and I, the individual, Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has already explained that it is the microcosmic I, and then the macrocosmic is the total, and there is a oneness between the two. He already covered that and gave us knowledge of who this I is. Who is this I? We had already studied that. And I is nothing but consciousness. Ultimately, he proved that in after several shlokas. The difference between Brahman and Ishvara, Brahman is the total consciousness. Ishvara is when Brahman becomes dynamic, because Brahman itself is at rest. But when this restful state becomes dynamic, that takes up the role of Ishvara, and Ishvara uses Maya, the creative power of the Lord, to create this entire universe. So we had seen last week that Tat can be proved by negation and by scriptures. One is not this, not this. What it is not, anything you see as this is not Brahman. And then also by Shruti quotations, Shankaracharya ji has beautifully used. And today he will continue more explanation of what is that Tat. Tat means that supreme consciousness, which is everywhere. And he will again give us beautiful Upanishad quotations to prove this. So we'll do number 32. Ambika, you have this?
39 कर लिया।
31 we did last week. यज्ञानात् सर्वविज्ञानम्
यज्ञानात् सर्वविज्ञानम्
श्रुतिषु प्रतिपादितम्
श्रुतिषु प्रतिपादितम्
मृदाद्यनेकदृष्टान्तैः।
मृदाद्यनेकृत् कदृष्टान्तैः
तत्प्रम् इत्यवधारय।
तत्ब्रह्मेत्यवधारय।
टुगेदर यज्ञानात् सर्वविज्ञानं श्रुतिषु प्रतिपादितं वेदाद्यनेकदृष्टान्तैः तद्ब्रह्मेत्यवधारय. So this is the common line that Brahma, that is Brahma iti avadharayat in the last quarter. Avadharaya means completely, clearly understand what is this Brahman, which we call as that, you know, which we th that means something which is far away, like this table and then that house, you know, my neighbor's house. But so we consider God as somebody far away, Brahman, but that is also, this is also, and Shankaracharya ji is proving by Upanishad quotations how they are one. So yad jnanat sarva vijnanam, yad jnanat, having known which, sarva vijnanam, everything comes to be known, knowing which everything comes to be known, and where it is given, shrutishu, in all the shrutis, in all the Upanishads. Pratipaditam means discussed. Pratipaditam also means it is supported by all it is the basis, the support of all this thinking, that knowing which everything comes to be known. And how do they explain? Mrit Adi, mud, etc. See, there cannot be a Upanishad class without mud and pot or rope and snake. So mud and pot has already come. Mrid Adi, so mud, etc. Aneka Drishtantehi, by various examples. Tad Brahma iti Avdharya, that is Brahman, that knowing which everything comes to be known, and the Shrutis, the Upanishad explain it by examples like mud, etc. So all known, you know, by knowing which everything comes to be known. Bhagwan in the seventh chapter, he says, Yat jnatva neha bhuyon yat jnatavyam avashishyate. Bhagwan says, having known that, there is nothing more remains to be known, talking about the consciousness. And the Upanishads in the Chandogya, of course, all of you have heard that story, but there was this Shvetaketu, who was a student sent by his father, Udalaka Rishi, to study for 12 years, and he served in the ashram, lived a life of minimum, and served and learned. And he learned physics and biology and science and grammar and art and, you know, scriptures. And he came back thinking, I have learned everything. There is nothing more I need to know. And the father asks him, did your teacher tell you that by which ashrutam becomes shrutam, amatam becomes matam, and avijñatam becomes vijñatam? So that what he means is ashrutam, that by which has not been heard becomes heard. Amatam means having been not been thought of becomes thought of, and avijñatam, that by knowing which the unknown becomes known. So the unknown becomes known, the unthought becomes thought, and unheard becomes heard. And the son, of course, is highly confused because he either didn't pay attention or what. And so he says, well, I don't know this. Maybe my teacher didn't know it. See, that's the arrogance of the boy. So then he looks at his father, and father is extremely unhappy because the ashram where his father had sent him, the Rishi was a very enlightened, highly evolved master. So he did realize it's a blunder. The son gets scared that father will send me for another 12 years of, you know, sadhana and all that. So he says, father, it seems that you know. So can you please teach me this? So then when he asked with humbly, then father teaches him. And that's the whole Chandogya Upanishad. We'll also quote that later. And then in Mundak Upanishad, which we have done a while back, kasmin no bhagavan vijnato sarvam vijnatam bhavati iti. Same question. What is that knowing which everything becomes known? So we ask, what is that one thing knowing which everything becomes known? You know, we don't know anything in the world that I know. So of course then teacher gives the example of mud. Knowing mud, you know all the parts. You know the pots, the plates, the saucers, the mugs, everything made of mud, you know. Same thing, having known what is the essence of gold, what is gold, then you know all the ornaments, ne necklace, bracelet, ring, all those forms of gold. So, but if you know the goldsmith, then you won't know everything about gold. So knowing goldsmith will not tell you everything about gold, but knowing the nature of gold will tell you all the ornaments. The goldsmith can only talk to you limited things that he knows. But knowing the gold in essence, everything is known. So what it means is that gold is the upadana karana of all instruments, I mean of all ornaments, and mud is the upadana karana of all the pots, clay, and all. So same way, Gurudev in his logic of spirituality, some of you may have watched that, which he gave originally the talk in the late 50s in the United Nations, and then throughout his life, he started in 1951. Throughout his life, he kept emphasizing that the cause alone exists. All the effects are nothing but the cause in different name and form. So there are different forms, but actually they are all cause itself. So the names may be different, the forms may be different, the uses may be different. Like necklace is not a bracelet, bracelet is not anklet, anklet is not nose ring. So their names are different, forms are different, uses are different, but the essence is one. So same way, this world has all this variety of objects that we see. All over everything that we see so much variety, so many things, so many animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, mountains, rocks, rivers, trees, anything that we see, all the inanimate objects also, actually they are nothing but Brahman alone. Because just as mud is in all the parts, Brahman is in all the objects. So Brahman and I are not separate. That is the teaching that the Rishi wants to give us. So this whole world actually has only one origin. We may say, well, the plant species have a different origin, the animals have different, rocks. No, you may have different names and forms, but the origin is one and one alone. And that Brahman, you have to keep your attention on that. What we do, we get so much caught up in the names and forms that we forget that there is God behind all this. Everything is nothing but God and God alone, Brahman and Brahman alone, just as mud is there in all the pots, gold is there. So same way, Brahman is in all the objects of the world, not only objects, but living and unliving. Both of them, chara, achara, both moving and non-moving, that one Brahman alone. And by giving these quotations, it makes us understand the subject. But for that, we have to have studied the Upanishads, or somebody like Shankaracharya ji, Bhagwan has, given us these quotations, then one should go back and read in the Upanishads where these quotations have come from. Same way when Bhagwan Ved Vyas ji composed the Brahma Sutras, because he had traveled throughout the country and studied all the Upanishads and put them into different categories and different Vedas and all. But then he decided to combine all this knowledge into one text, you can say, one piece of work. And that is the Brahma Sutras, which is the highest knowledge, little difficult to understand, the Brahma Sutras. But there he repeatedly gives reference to different Upanishads. So that way you can understand, oh yeah, I heard in Chandogya it was like that, in a Brihadaranyaka it was like that. So by giving the quotations, the names and forms, he is able to demonstrate to us. So which is for us would be very hard, to know all the Upanishads, but Ved Vyas ji has combined them in all the Brahma Sutras. Hansaben, you have this number 33. I think if you want me to call upon you, please put your camera on. If your camera is off, then I will understand you don't need to repeat. So anybody who only whose camera is on, I will call upon them. Tadanantyam
Yadanantyam
pratignaya. Shrutistatsiddhaye jagau.
pratignaya Shrutistattasiddhaye jago
Tatkaryatvam prapanchasya
Tatkaryatvam prapanchasya
tadbrahmetyavadharaya.
Tadbrahmetyavadharaya
Yadanantyam pratignaya shrutistatsiddhaye jagau tatkaryatvam prapanchasya tadbrahmetyavadharaya. So that is Brahman. Avadharya means clearly understand in your mind and in your intellect. And not only avadharaya does not mean only understand, but ascertain the truth of it and then abide in that. That means see everything as Brahman, including I as Brahman, that you have to understand. Avadharaya not does not mean, okay, I've understood I am Brahman, that I am Tattvamasi, but I have to start living that in my life when problems come, when stresses come. You say, yes, the body, mind, and intellect is going through problems, stresses, but I am Brahman, I am unattached. Does not mean you become like a rock or a stone, but do not let problems disturb you. Take care of the problem as it arises, but internally, you should be calm, and that is the basic understanding of this text and all the Upanishads. So, yada anantyam pratignaya, anantyam means limitless, endless. Pratignaya means that is the proposition of the Shrutis. So, that is the pratignya. Pratignya here means the proposed, what is proposed, what is explained by the Upanishads as limitless, endless. Shrutihi tat siddhaye, that has been indicated, proved by the Siddhis. And jagau means has been sung, even though jagau is not the world, but giyate is to sing. So gau, that which has been sung by the Upanishads. And it also means that knowledge is supported by the Upanishads. And who is that Brahman? Tat karyatvam prapanchasya. And it is the karyatvam, it is the effort or effect of because of which prapancha has come. Prapancha means all this whole world of five elements. This whole world is nothing but space, air, fire, water, earth. Not only the visible world, but even our thoughts, our mind, emotions, all are composed of that five elements. But in the world, you see it as the gross, but
Thoughts.
in the thoughts, it is the subtle aspect. That's why it is called the subtle as body, and it is the subtle aspect of the Pancha Mahabhutas. When you have studied the Tattva Bodh, they mention that the Pancha Mahabhutas in the gross become this visible world, but the subtle aspect of the Pancha Mahabhutas become the subtle world. Tad Brahma iti avadharaya. Understand that to be Brahman. So here, when they are saying it is limitless, it is endless, because in our mind, space is limitless, it is endless, and space is, it goes for billions, trillions of miles. There are billions of stars like the sun, and it is still going on and on. They say there are more stars in the sky than sand in the ocean, the particles of sand in the beach. Can you count them? No, but the more stars are much more than that. It is amazing who the creator should be, how he should have done that. When you study space or astronomy, your mind gets boggled. You know, we have this Voyager which has traveled for like 10 years and has traveled almost 1 billion miles, but where it has reached just up to Neptune and Pluto, and which is just our solar system. And how many solar systems are there? You know, this Halley's Comet, which goes for 73 years. So the point is that whatever we see on this universe, whatever the substratum is, that consciousness is the substratum, it is the origin, and it is pervading. It is not only creating, but it is pervading. And later on, we'll see how Bhagwan enters into us. And so the universe is the effect, and the Brahman is the cause. But people who have a gross mind, most people are very materialistic, they have vasanas, then they think this world alone is real. You know, that is alone is there. There is nothing more than that. You know, you ask Charvaks, you know, they say, oh, who knows about next life and this life and that life? You are here on this world, enjoy and die. There is no karmas, there is no heaven, hell. This is it. If you enjoy life, you are in heaven. If you don't enjoy, you are in hell. So forget about all these. And they dispute all the other theories. You know, there are various Siddhantas. So Brahman alone is the reality of this world. And this prapancha, this air, space, fire, water, earth, is the effect. And in the Upanishad, again, it is said in Taittiriya Upanishad that from Brahman came space, then from space came air, then fire, then water, then came earth, then from earth came food, came herbs, you know, and these nourished the jivas and humans came. So they have traced that in several mantras in the Taittiriya Upanishad in very much detail. And it is very important to have a clear knowledge of what we are studying. Not only objects, but even about people, you know, instead of prejudging them, one should have a clear knowledge of who that person is, what is. So, talking about clear knowledge, this man's daughter was dating this young man, and she was telling how nice he is and this and that. So, father asks her, does he have any money? You know, as father, he's concerned because if she marries him, does he have any money? She says, that's so funny. He was asking the same thing about you. Does your father have any money? So I guess his love was not that pure. So you have to have clear knowledge of whatever you are studying. And that's why this universe is not only infinite, limitless, but it is non-dual. There are no two. It's not Brahman and the world. Brahman is the world. And this world is a vistara, it is a spread. And name and form are appearances, as we said. Whatever you see is an appearance upon that. In reality, Brahman alone is. And this world is an illusion, is a misapprehension, because we don't see the world as Brahman. That's why that is non-apprehension of the truth. That's why we consider this world to be real, but the world is an illusion, you know, like the rope and the snake. Again, that example comes because they're not seeing the people say, I know rope and snake. You know, why does they keep repeating? If you know rope and snake, you would not have this question of non-apprehension or misapprehension, because the rope alone exists, and on that rope, because of darkness, we have superimposed the snake. But rope alone is reality. The snake is superimposition, same way Brahman is reality. And the world is a superimposition upon Brahman. And that is what we have to clearly understand. And only way is knowledge. As we all of you know, when you shine the light, then the rope, snake disappears, the rope alone appears. Same way, when you get the knowledge from the guru and from the scriptures, then this world, it's an appearance. It's not that the world does not exist or you don't see it, but it is an illusory superimposition. And upon that, we have to work with the world. We have to deal with the world. So you cannot say, oh, I'm Brahman, so I can jump from the third floor and nothing will happen. No, as a body, you will have to go through the laws of the body, the mind, the intellect, but realize that the reality is something else and then deal with problems as they arise, but know your reality and the reality of the world. So that's called non-dual, that Brahman alone is, and I am that Brahman. So this is the next one. Lata, you want to say it? Number 34.
Okay.
Vijignasataya yatcha.
Vijignasaya. Gnasyataya yatcha.
Vedanteshu mumukshubhihi.
Vedanteshu mumukshubhihi.
Samarthyateti yatnena.
Samarthyateti yatnena.
Tad brahmetyavadharaya.
Tad brahmetyavadharaya.
So tad brahma, that is brahman, iti avadharaya, know that, ascertain that. So what vijignasya taya yacha, as the object of contemplation. So what they are saying, that brahman cannot be known by the senses or the eyes or touched by the hands or reached by the feet, even cannot be described in the speech, only by contemplation upon the teachings of the rishis, and meditating upon that and contemplating upon it and abiding in that truth. And it is given in all the Vedantas, all the Upanishads. And who can get it? Mumukshubhihi, the ones who are desires of liberation, mumukshus. They are desires of liberation. Samarthyate ati yatnena, with great effort, it is established by the Upanishads. They repeatedly hammer that to us because we think, oh, I know I'm Brahman. I've already heard that. I heard it 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Why don't they tell something new? But we have heard it, but we don't believe it. We don't abide in it. We don't live as Brahman. So that is very important. Samarthyate ati yatnena. So the Upanishads have explained it with great effort. Again and again, they want to hammer till if somebody wakes you up from sleep and says, who are you? Instead of saying, I am Lata, you should say, I am Brahman. That how much clear it should be. Then only the knowledge has become clear. Until then, it is incomplete. So that Brahman you are, iti avadharaya. And this has been explained beautifully in the Taittiriya Upanishad, which was taught by Varuna Rishi to his son Bhrigu. So again, Bhrigu was himself a great Rishi, and Varuna Rishi was, of course, a great master. And they explained it as Upadana Karna. We know about Nimit Karna, Upadana Karna. Nimit means the instrumental cause. Upadana means the material cause. And then there is the Karana Karna, the instrument. So upadan means it is that alone. So again, you know, when out of mud you create a pot, what happens? It is mud alone that becomes the pot. Then when the pot you are using, it is mud alone that is sustained in the pot. And then when it perishes, when it breaks, the pot falls down and breaks, nothing happens to the mud. The mud remains the same, but the pot. So mud does not change. When it is heated and made into a pot, it does not change when it is moved around and when it breaks. And there is this Taittiriya Upanishad, Yatova imani bhutani jayante, yena jatani jivanti, yat prayantya visham vishanti, tad vijignyasasva. So it's a very, very famous mantra, which explains the reason for Brahman, or the, what do you call, not the reason, but the nature of Brahman. Again, Brahman cannot be defined, but the Upanishads try their best. Yato, it's there on page 120 at the bottom of the page. If you want to see, follow that. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. Yato means yataha, from where? Imani bhutani jayante. All these beings you are seeing, they come from that. Yena jatani jivanti, and having been created, they live in Brahman. So we came out of Brahman, we having taken birth, we live in Brahman. Yat prayantya visham vishanti, and even at the time of our death, the Brahman remains unchanged. So Brahman is where we came from, where we live, and ultimately at death, we just go back to Brahman. Tad vijijñāsasva, that you should know very, very clearly, that you should. So if anything else, this should be what you take from this talk, that I came from Brahman, I am in Brahman, I will merge back into Brahman, and I am nothing but Brahman and Brahman alone, that you have to. So it is the essence of every form, like my essence, true essence is that, just as the essence of sugar is sweetness, essence of fire is heat and light, my essence is that Atma, the Om in the BMI chart, which is the Om, which is the Brahman, the consciousness. And when they do the Pancha Kosha Vivek, because students are at all different levels. So some students are taught by that example, you know, that you see how the panch koshas are and how air, space, fire, water, earth, you look at this world, and then the world must have a source, so they trace that way. But those are mumukshus who are evolved higher seekers. They directly go to this knowledge, because then the teacher knows that this student is evolved. And so he directly takes him to that highest knowledge, and he says, gives him the knowledge that which you are seeing, that which is here, which is there, which is after, before birth, after that, that is Brahman, now go contemplate and meditate upon it. The teacher doesn't give him too much material because his mind is already very purified. So that's how we have to purify our mind. And raise it from this gross thinking to the highest. And the mind, when it goes in meditation, it halts, becomes still. And in that still mind, this knowledge appears. And then recently I was reading a book where they talk about difference between ego and self and consciousness. Though the author has not described it very well, but in the Upanishads, the difference between, maybe you, somebody can tell me what you think is the difference between Ambika, ego and self and consciousness.
Yes.
No, not to put you on the spot, but
No. The self is the self within you is that Paramatma is, yeah, that is within you. Ego is your small little ego. That makes you think that I am this and I am that.
Right.
And consciousness is what is pervading.
Exactly. Very good.
Everywhere.
Oh yeah. So that is the essence of this teachings, that we are remain focused on the ego, but you have to shift from ego to the self, the S with a big S, self, not myself. You know, that self is small, or self-centered, selfish. That is the small S. But when you put the big S, that is the Atma, the consciousness within, and that is the consciousness everywhere. So you have to have a sincere desire for liberation. Tivra mumukshutvam. See, there are three kinds of mumukshus. Manda, Madhyama, and Tivra. Manda mumukshu is once, yeah, I want to know God, but raas chalte hue mil gaya to theek hai. As I'm walking on the street, if Bhagwan comes to meet me, I'm fine with that. That's all they want. They want to know God, but they want. Then middle ones are like us, you know. Yeah, we want to know, we study, we think, but we don't put wholehearted effort. And Tivra Mumukshu is the one that Vivekananda had told that person, "I want to know God," and he put his head in the water. You know that story. And he couldn't breathe and he was angry. He said, "What?" And he came out, he was almost dying. He said, "What kind of a sadhu are you?" He said, "When you were under a water, were you thinking about your wife or your property, your stock market, your house, children? No. What were you thinking? I want breath, breath, breath. I want breath alone." He said, "That's how much your desire should be to know Brahman. Just as you had a sincere desire to breathe, that much. So all they say, like when your hair is on fire, do you think here and there, what should I do now? There is fire. Maybe." No, you don't say maybe. You just run to the water and go put your head under the sink. That time you are not thinking. Your only thing is to preserve yourself. So that is tivra, and that kind of mumukshutvam you should have. And the Shruti will guide us. The Upanishads, the scriptures guide us. But ultimately, the desire has to be ours. Avarshaben, you can do the next one. The next one starts a very beautiful topic about how Bhagwan entered this world and how the whole creation happened. And it's a very, very, very beautiful topic, which we'll cover for a few verses. Jivatmana praveshascha
Jivatmana praveshascha
yantratvam cha tan prati.
yantra niyantantvam cha तान प्रति
नियंत्रत्वं च तान् प्रति
नियन्तत्वं च तान प्रति
श्रूयते यस्य वेदेषु
श्रूयते यस्य वेदेषु
तद्ब्रह्मेत्यवधारय
तद्ब्रह्मेत्ववधारय
गदक जीवात्मना प्रवेशश्च नियन्त्रत्वं च तान् प्रति श्रूयते यस्य वेदेषु तद्ब्रह्मेत्यवधारय. सो अगेन शंकराचार्य जी सेज दैट इज ब्रह्मन्. अवधारय, कंप्लीटली बी कन्विंस्ड ऑफ दैट एंड लिव विद दैट नॉलेज. एंड व्हाट इज दैट? सो इट सेज जीवात्मना प्रवेशश्च, इट एंटर्स एज द इंडिविजुअल जीवा. सो ब्रह्मन प्रवेश मीन्स एंटर्स एज द इंडिविजुअल जीवा इन टू द ह्यूमन बॉडी. एंड देन नियंत्रत्वम नॉट ओनली एंटर्स बट इट कंट्रोल्स. सो ईगो और दिस इंडिविजुअलिटी एंटर्स एंड कंट्रोल. सो गॉड बेसिकली एंटर्स एंड कंट्रोल्स अस च तान प्रति. सो टूवर्ड्स देम इट हैज द कंट्रोलिंग पावर. So it enters and leavens. God enters me at the time of, they say generally the third month, when the child is in the mother's womb, that's when the jiva enters. That is, God himself enters the womb, mother's womb, and then controls all our activities. That's why even in deep sleep, our heart functions, lungs, digestion, all go on. We don't, everything doesn't become silent at the time of deep sleep. My mind and intellect may become silent, but my body continues to function. The involuntary movements. Shruyate, and it is heard. Where? Again, in the Vedas, Vedeshu, it is heard. And that which has been heard in the Vedas, that is Brahma iti avadharaya. So enters, Upanishads talk about that when the child was, being created, God entered. Entered does not mean that it has to physically go. It's not that there is some object that is coming from somewhere, entering into the mother's womb. And it is everywhere. So it is not that it can enter or not enter. What it means is the abhasa, the reflection of consciousness, is that. That's how it enters. Just as the sun, when it reflects on the bucket, then that reflection of the sun comes from the water in the bucket, because the water is subtle. It has a reflective power. Then that's why when the sun hits the water, you can see the reflection on the wall nearby. because the sun has not actually hit it hits everywhere. But when it gets into a reflecting medium, then only that, the light you can see. Otherwise, sunlight is everywhere. Same way Brahman is everywhere, but through the mind and intellect, it enters. So when it reflects in the mind and intellect, what appears is called Chidabhas, the reflection of consciousness. We have all heard that. So Chidabhas, so it runs, it controls, and it rules the body. And all the scientific laws of the world work because of the presence of Brahman. That's why the Upanishad says that because of which the wind moves and the fire lights and all that. So out of fear of that comes, all that. So because ordered by God, the air moves, the sun shines, the fire burns. So whatever you are seeing happening is ordered by that consciousness alone. And again, the sun and in the bucket, suppose the water in the bucket is thrown out, then the sun will no longer reflect in the bucket because the bucket is dull, but bucket does not have the ability to reflect. Just as we are alive because our mind and intellect has the ability to reflect consciousness. But at the time of death, the jiva, the mind, intellect, and taking the vasanas goes to higher or lower worlds. That time the body is lying there. It has all the parts, liver, heart, lungs, spleen, everything. But the heart cannot beat, the lungs cannot breathe because the subtle body is gone. So same way, when the water is removed from the bucket, then the reflection goes away. The sun is there unaffected. Sun does not get affected, but the reflection gets affected. Like when the water is agitated, then the reflection gets agitated. When the water is muddy black, then the reflection gets muddy black. Same way, what arises is the ego. When the consciousness reflects in the subtle body, and it is the ego that suffers. Just as the sun does not suffer when the water is being shaken, the reflection moves here and there. Nothing happens to the sun. So same way, the ego is like the reflection of consciousness, Chidabhas. And when the good and bad things are happening, the ego suffers. But nothing happens to consciousness, just as nothing happens to the sun. Whether there is water in the bucket or no water, the sun doesn't distinguish. It just, illumines everything. So same way, consciousness is illumining everything. And where there is mind and intellect, the consciousness will create and will enter as reflection of consciousness. And what is our problem? We are looking outward for happiness, looking outward for God, looking, temple and those places, they are good to go there, but ultimately you have to find God within. God is within me as I am. Yeah, it isn't there in the idol of Sri Krishna or Sri Rama or Lord Shiva, all those are there. But ultimately, to find God, you have to go inward. And Swami Aparajitananda ji says it very beautifully in one talk. He says that when you contemplate and meditate and you negate all this body, mind, intellect, vasanas, then you feel a presence. Very beautifully, he describes that awareness, that presence that is constantly with us, that does not change, that does not get less or more. So that is Brahman that we have to know. And the same Paramatma becomes Jivatma. That same total Brahman becomes that individual Jiva, and that is the Mahavakya, Tat Tvam Asi. That Paramatma and this Jivatma, you are both the same. Not in equipment. Equipment, of course, I am limited, and Bhagwan has, so much more abilities. Bhagwan created the whole universe, all that. But you have to understand the essence of me, and the essence of Ishvara is that one Brahman. Of course, Ishvara is limitless, it's vast, it is huge, very powerful. I am limited, but my essence and the essence of Ishvara, just as we have talked about the difference between wave and ocean. Ocean is origin for the wave, it sustains the wave, maintains it. And wave cannot think I am the ocean. Wave is limited, comes for a small time, has very limited powers, while ocean is limitless and stays for a long time. But the essence of both is water. Water is the essence of ocean, water is the essence of the wave. So similarly, Paramatma and Jivatma, they are different in power abilities, but their essence is one, that is Brahman, that is consciousness. So you and I are that individual ego, but we have to, when the ego ends, then you realize the truth. Then you realize that you are that. So the ego is the one that is keeping me away from this knowledge that I am something, I am so great, I do so much, I know so much. So all that is ego. And when that comes, then God separates, it goes away. So I have to again and again say, I am nothing and God is everything. And that, especially when I'm functioning in the body, mind, and intellect, I am nothing. I'm a humble servant. But when you say, I am everything, means as consciousness, I am everything. And in Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, they mention the five elements and the deities that are energized by that Brahman. So the deities get their power from God. And so in space, it is Akash, the deity is Parameshwara. The Parameshwara is the deity of space. Then of air, it is Vayudevta, God, who is the father of Hanumanji, Vayudevta. In Agni, in the fire, it is Agni Devta and Lord Shiva. So in air, it is Vayudevta. In space, Parameshwara. In fire, Agni plus Lord Shiva. Varun Devta in the water. And in the earth, it is Bhudevi and Brahmaji. So those are the deities, Bhudevi of the earth, Varun of water, Agni and Shiva for fire, Vayu Devta air, and Parameshwara for space, Akash. And so that Brahman we should know, that Brahman we should realize, that is the whole purpose of studying these Upanishads, these teachings, is that it should create a strong desire in us to reach that. Okay, I heard it, then you close the book, okay, Vakyavritti ho gaya, now which next book you are doing? Not like that, don't ask which next book. How much have I understood Vakyavritti? Again and again, reading, listening, even if you can read commentaries by other Mahatmas or YouTube and all. So again and again, this knowledge has to become strong within us, has to be permanent. That's why he says, Avadharaya, completely understand, abide, and do not let this knowledge go away from you. Do not deviate from this knowledge. It is beautiful. This text is so powerful. So clearly, Bhagwan Shankaracharya Ji has made it simple for us, giving quotations from Upanishads, and Swami Chinmayananda Ji's commentary, of course, is very, very beautiful, very practical. So please read the commentary in detail, Swami Chinmayananda Ji's commentary in this Vakyavritti. So I'll end here. We have 10 minutes if anybody has any questions, comments. Okay, no questions. Lata, you have a question?
So when you say that he enters, this is the creation
Yes.
process at this point. So
Exactly.
down the road, it would be the sustainer, and the dissolution will come in the next few shlokas.
I haven't read the next few shlokas
Karma
in
Phal
detail.
Data and all that.
It will come. He's the Karma Phal Data in the next shloka. So
I see, I
whatever is
see.
happening is happening. But this is how he enters, right? So the maintains. They already said, na, he's the sustainer.
Controller, right? Maintains, right there.
When it perishes, it merges back into it. I actually haven't read the whole book in it.
Right. So at this point, they are just discussing Brahman becoming an individual jiva,
Right.
the individual self. It's not yet Ishvara at this point in this.
No, it is
In.
Ishvara. He already covered Ishvara in previous.
I saw, I read that. I
Right.
already read
So,
that, right.
yeah, so Ishvara is the creator. Brahman doesn't enter. Brahman is already there everywhere.
Yeah.
Brahman is already in the mother's womb even before
Enter is just the word they using,
yeah.
but it cannot enter
Yeah, it
anywhere.
cannot enter.
Everything which is everywhere cannot go.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, like Brahman cannot change his address. I can. So this is one thing I can do. Cannot do. He cannot move from here to anywhere. Well, I can move from Bakersfield to San Luis Obispo. So that is one thing I can do, which God cannot do. Yeah, because he's everywhere. So right.
Not to inquire, ego is inquiry. Ego does not like inquiry. So the more you inquire, will get, yeah, ego will
Right.
get. So that is the way to deface the ego and by knowledge what that ego is.
Right, and that they happens only in the meditation, right? That you know
Even
who you.
during daytime, you can see. Every time you can see that I am walking because of God, I am Paramatma, you know, like that. I am talking, I am cooking, I am listening. And when you're sitting and doing nothing, then even that is Bhagwan, you know.
Gurudev says how long you should meditate? 24/7. That's why.
Oh, wow.
You sit down and do, that is different thing, but during that, whatever knowledge we have gained, we should now contemplate on that. Whatever you are contemplating, as long as you're thinking about that is all meditation.
Right.
We call it deep.
And in the verse number 33, the two terms that Advaita and Ananta, so that is a description. Limited description of Brahman, right? That's what he brought it.
No, not limited. It tells it is endless. It is limitless.
That means it's endless.
Limitless. And
Ananta.
it is the cause of prapancha. So when they say cause, that means
Oh.
cause is in the effect.
Right.
It is non-dual and it is infinite. It goes
How
on
few of
and on.
them have heard that, that logic of spirituality?
Logic of spirituality, you
Is
should
the
listen.
best book to
I
understand.
have that. You guys sent me that.
Read
Read
that.
that book is amazing. All the laws he has explained so well. Once you
Right.
understand that, then you understand what God is and what Jiva is and what.
Right. So his main point is God, cause is not, effect is nothing but cause with name and form. So if we are the effect and Bhagwan is the cause, then I am that Bhagwan alone with just with name and form.
And somewhere it says
And,
the
but
cause is limitless. Is that
right.
true?
It is
Okay.
limit. That's why in what do you call what is that one which you always chant, you know, Purush Suktam. In
Ha,
Purush,
Purushottam, right.
only one quarter became this whole universe or the 14 worlds. And Tripath Urdhva Udayata, the three parts has gone above, and only one part has become this universe.
Oh, okay.
Limitless. Because
Okay.
think the world is limitless, trillions of miles and 14 worlds, that's only quarter of Brahman.
Oh, wow.
Three quarters is
Have we done Purushottam translation? Have you done it before for the group?
Yeah, we did Purushottam in the afternoon class.
Probably long time ago.
Long time ago. Yeah, it's in there. Yeah, you did it.
Okay.
Okay, I'll check it out then.
Right.
Thank you.
It would be good to do again, since we are chanting and all that stuff.
Okay, let me see if I can find something. after the summer.
Next week ke la class announce kar do, there will be
Yeah, and also, in the summer the attendance goes down very much. People are traveling and all. Do we want to do these classes or we want to end them and restart in August?
everybody should put in the WhatsApp.
Put in the WhatsApp how many are here through the summer, and it should be a sincere commitment. Otherwise, we show up and there hardly anybody is there then, because people travel a lot during the summer. So Gita class is cancelled. We have cancelled Sanskrit class. We have cancelled chanting. They have cancelled till August because most of the people are not there. So one by one, we are checking with people how many are going to be there,
I'm
and do
going
you
to
want?
start back in.
Or we can start back on August 18th, Tuesday. So 3 months you have time to read this book, contemplate, and read other books, other literature. Listen to Mahatmas, or you go to Chinmaya channel, YouTube. You can listen to all Swami Tejomaya Nandaji, Swami Aparajita Nandaji, all the Ishwara Nandaji. So you can listen to talks by Mahatmas in the summer. But don't stop studying. See, even if this class is not there, I should independently study. Ultimately, that's what really matters. More important is how I think about it. Shravana is only one part. Then I have to contemplate and then I have to abide. So one third is only listening. Two third is we have to think and then we have to live with this knowledge.
Correct.
So let us know. But to me, doesn't in the past we have tried to do classes in the summer and they very quickly die down. Hardly anybody shows up. So,
Yes.
yeah. So,
Okay.
okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम।